Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Casey Roth, number 110884.
Okay, Mr. Ross, you do have, R-O-T-H, you do have a supporter here, and who's going to do Mr. Roth? The Honorable Mr. Johnson. Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting your hearing, so if you just hold on, the next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, sir.
Okay.
Okay, sir, for the record, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us, please?
My name is Casey Allen Roth, number 110884.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. To my immediate right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable David Neal. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be your panel chair today. And also with us, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Osborne.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, sir, prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of the board's hearing today. So you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes.
Okay, so on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain your licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I am representing myself.
Okay, so at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. You do have one supporter here. I believe it's your sister. this is Shannon. Shannon Roth. Your sister's also here as a supporter here. So, Ms. Roth, I'd like to also swear you in at this time, too, along with your brother, Mr. Osborne. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Roth?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Roth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Osborne?
I do, sir.
Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have two allegations listed on your warrant, Mr. Rao. I'm going to read those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
I do.
Okay. So the first allegation on your warrant states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 30th, 2017 per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 10th, well, actually November 2nd, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
This is correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So your next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your possession of a large knife on or about October 31st, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
I dispute the wording of the allegation.
So is it true or false, sir? And so you're saying that it's false?
It was.
I understand.
That way it's worded, yes.
Okay. All right, sir. Based on the information that you say that allegation number two is false, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, and get some additional information, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number two. On July 19th, 2017, during the offender's initial intake, the offender was advised to not be in possession or have under his control electronic stun devices, firearms, deadly or prohibited weapons of any type. The offender acknowledged and agreed to abide by these directives. On October 31st of 2017, the offender reported into the parole office located at 801 South 16th Street, Suite Number 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034, for staffing after failing to submit a sample of task on October 30th of 2017. A search of the offender's vehicle was conducted by CCO Vu and CCO Scarcega. A 13-inch carbon steel Fiskars compact clearing hook was located in a compact pocket behind the front passenger seat, which is directly in the area of control of the driver, offender, while operating the vehicle. This pocket is within arm's length of the driver's seat in a normal seated position. When the offender was questioned about his item, the offender stated he used it for work. It should be noted, this item was alone and away from all other tools and was located in the back of the vehicle. Furthermore, the offender stated he didn't purchase a folding hacksaw because this item looked cooler. Additionally, let it be known, the offender is a maintenance man and not assigned to the grounds or lawn crew. Follow-up, due to the offender's violations, failure to submit a sample of task, and possession of a large knife type instrument after staffing with senior CCO Preda and Cole or PS Fleischman, technical violation warrant was issued. The offender was taken into custody and transported to the vicinity of ARTC Phoenix, Alhambra Unit, on October 31st of 2017.
Okay, Mr. Ross, so what is it that you dispute about that item?
My main dispute concerns the fact that it was not the only tool in my vehicle. Directly behind the driver's seat, I had an entire socket set. My understanding was that it wasn't a concern that I had the tool, it was the placement of the tool, and for that I take responsibility for not being more mindful of where I was keeping my tools. All of my tools were in my vehicle.
Okay. All right, Mr. Ralph. So based on the admission of Mr. Ralph and allegation number one, and based on the Department of Corrections information along with the warrant information, information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, and a discussion with Mr. Ralph, I am going to find that for allegation number two, and find that he did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, so the board is, Ms. Rittenhouse, did you second?
Yes.
Okay, so the board's gonna go into phase two of your hearing, sir. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. We're gonna start out phase two with getting some additional information from Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come to you, Mr. Routh, and get any additional information that you'd like to present to the board. Then we're going to go to your sister and get any information that she'd like to present to the board at this time, okay? Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Routh was released from DOC custody on July 19th of 2017. He was arrested on October 31st of 2017 at the Electronic Command Unit office on a tech violation and was turned back to custody that same day. With 0 scan days with a community supervision end date of December 19th of 2018. Current conviction 2009, sexual conduct with a minor, 10 years. Prior convictions 1995, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year, 6 months. And 1995, theft, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 2, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is no STD or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1995. Regular parole's goner, 17 days, revoked. Has a moderate disciplinary history with theft noted. Other arrests, 2007, sexual conduct with minor, AZ felony conviction, probation. Has a community risk score of G4B5, and he is a registrable notifiable level 3 sex offender with DCAC cited.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, so I see that you were released without approved residence, and then you were able to gain residence at Cocopelli, located at 2210 West Cabana Avenue in Mesa. Were you still there, sir, at the time that you were arrested by the parole officers?
Yes, sir, I was. And to be honest, I don't know that I would have been released to that location without the approval of my parole officer.
Okay.
My understanding was that was where I was supposed to go.
Right, right.
I went directly there that same day because that's where he told me I was going.
Okay, well, there's no problem with that, sir. During your intake, you were referred to the Maricopa Skills Center, so you have some tools, so where are you working, or what kind of work were you doing?
Sir, within 2 weeks of being released, I was working for a company called ServiceLink Commercial. I was doing commercial maintenance, properties all across the valley. I started out at $12 an hour, and within a month and a half, I received a raise to $13. If another week, I probably would have finished my probationary period and been earning $14 an hour. I was paying my own rent at the halfway house. I had just purchased a car. And I was doing well. I should have been a bit more mindful of, you know, calling tasks every morning. And obviously more mindful of where I had my tools placed. But I was going to attending group. I was doing well.
Okay, so what was this tool, this knife-like item you had? What was it used for? I mean, it looks like it could be a dangerous item. So what did you use it for?
I used it to remove the suckers from trees during a 2 week period when I was assigned the backyard at the halfway house.
To remove what? To remove what from trees?
Well, you know how you get the shoots on the bases of trees at the trunks?
Okay.
They just kind of start shooting up. I purchased it to remove those.
Okay. So, sir, during your program, it looks like July 26th of 17, you submitted a sample which was negative and normal with no discrepancy. Then on August 6th, it looked like you registered at Deer Valley Counseling Service for sex offender treatment. On August 28th, you submitted a sample at DAS, a urine sample, that was negative with no discrepancies. Then on September 18th, you failed to submit a sample to TAS per the color code gray, but then the next day, you submitted a sample with your CCO view, and the results were negative with no discrepancy. Then you failed to submit another one again on October 30th with your color code, and then on the 31st, you submitted a R swab, and the office results were negative with normal, no discrepancy. So it appears you weren't doing any drugs or anything. So why did you miss those two?
I simply forgot, sir. During my whole period of time since my incarceration began, I've stayed clean. I've stayed away from substances that were mind-altering. Matter of fact, I don't even smoke anymore since December 31st, 2011. For me, I don't think about drugs anymore, and for me, it was hard to remember when I was busy to make that phone call every morning. At the time of my violation, when they put the handcuffs on me, the supervisor, Pareto, was changing my color to something that was going to come up more often, and he was going to set me up with text message alerts to prohibit this from occurring again.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Since the board has no additional questions, sir, I am going to go to your supporter, Ms. Shannon Rao. If you would just come up to the podium there, please. Please just state your name and present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
Good morning. My name is Shannon Rao. I'm his sister. I have been trying to support him since his release because I didn't want him to go back, obviously. I made sure that helping him get his vehicle. Since he's been rearrested, I've talked to his employer about the possibility if he was to get reinstated and be released, that there's a good possibility he'd be able to go back to his job. They all loved him there. They all think he did a great job. Thought it was very unfortunate that this happened. The tool that he had. I did ask the parole officer when I picked up his vehicle and his belongings if I could see it because I wanted to know what it looked like, and he said that it was in evidence, so he wasn't able to show me. But I do know with the job that he was doing and living at that house that he had acquired several tools during that time period, and I just thought it was really unfortunate that the tool itself, the parole officer said, was not an issue had it been farther back. but because it was within reaching distance, that was the problem with him having it. That's what the parole officer said to me. And I thought that was a little bit strange that he could have this tool just not within reaching distance. And I would think if you're driving, because that was the wording that the parole officer gave to me, that it was within reaching distance from the driver's seat. And I'm thinking if it's a knife of some sort, really what can you do while you're driving down the road that would be a danger to somebody? I didn't understand that that would be the thing that would get him in trouble. That was the thing that he focused on. And then obviously the missing, the calling for the colors. I know for me, I forget to call people all the time or forget to call on something all the time. So that makes sense that that could be something that would happen. I think that if he had the opportunity to be released, that maybe I could teach him how to set a calendar reminder on his phone to go off every day. Before he went into custody, cell phones weren't super popular at the time. So I don't think he's used to all the technology that is available in his hand now. So that's something that I can help him with if he is released.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Ms. Rock? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Ralph, the board's going to need to go into discussion, but prior to going into discussion, so I want to see if there's any additional information that you'd like to present to the board that you haven't already presented without repeating yourself, sir.
In the effort of trying not to repeat myself, I would keep in mind, in the case of reinstatement, to be more mindful, obviously, of where I keep my tools. I was doing good. I appreciate the opportunity to continue to go back to work, continue going to group, and make progress. You know, I was released after 8.5 years. I hit the ground running, had a job within 2 weeks, which, from my understanding, was going to be extremely difficult. I have a lot of things going for me. Obviously, my sister's very supportive. Out of state support from my mother. You know, I have a lot of people counting on me. I'd really appreciate an opportunity to get back to work and get back to trying to get back on my feet.
Okay, Mr. Rapp. The board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, Mr. Roth, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, however, to remain silent. The board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. As the board is discussing, may appear as we're talking to you, but we're going to be talking amongst ourselves. When we've made that decision, it will get back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. The board is now into discussion. Mr. Routh was living at a facility. He was doing some work. He did miss 2 DUAs, but according to the case supervision summary, he went the next day and took the test, and each time he went on those 2 he missed, and they all came back negative. That basically said results were negative and normal with no discrepancies. So he says that he just forgot about those days, but he did go immediately following the next day and do it. It's evident from the report that he was working, that he was doing some type of maintenance work. He did have this tool that he had in his vehicle. The tool was in the back seat in a holder, and I'm assuming that's in the case because the case is included in the actual photo that we have on the documentation that we have. It has a case that it fits into. And it is an ugly looking thing, though. You know, if it was used for a weapon, but he says he was using it to do some work at the facility where he was actually staying at it. You know, at this time, I do believe that he's been honest. That's what the tool's been used for. That's what he's been doing. He didn't come back with any positive UAs. He did miss 2, and like I said earlier, on the very next day, he went back and his tests were negative. He had several tests before that he was taking, and he did make those tests, and he was following the directions of his PO and reporting to his PO when told to do so. Matter of fact, he was at his PO's office when this weapon was found in the back seat of the vehicle that he was in. Well, not the back seat, in a panel on the back passenger seat of the vehicle, which means that it would be in orange reach that you could reach back from around the back seat and actually get it. So that would put it in orange reach. But it did also state that there were some other tools that were inside the vehicle. So I think that Mr. Ross seems to be sincere that he was working. He did come out and get a job within 2 weeks. He was taking his tests, and those tests were coming back negative. And I, at this point, I'm in favor of reinstating Mr. Ross back on his community supervision, and hopes that he would complete his community supervision and be a productive citizen, as he says he's trying to strive to do. But I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Ms. Rittenhouse.
I just, I'm kind of leaning that way too, but there are some things that concern me. And they are that he did admit to having contact with minor children, and that he had pornography on his phone. He had pornographic pictures on his phone. And it just seems that the forgetting to call, you know, for UAs, and these things lead me to think that he's not he's not aware of the seriousness of being on parole and on community supervision, and understanding that you have to do everything that you agreed to do when you're on parole. There's a prior parole from 1995 that he actually absconded and was revoked. So surely knows the consequences of what can happen if you don't adhere to all of the conditions. But, and if it's just one thing, I wouldn't be concerned, but it's more than one thing. It's minor children, it's pornographic images on the phone, and it's this weapon, which I do wonder, why on earth would you have a thing like that in the seat of your car rather than in your toolbox? I'm really perplexed about that. And why particularly in the passenger seat? If you were just storing it there, you'd open the driver's side and stick it there, and it would be hard to reach around behind the seat and get it. Whereas where it was placed, you could reach it while you were driving. So I don't know. I'm still thinking. So please have further discussion.
Yes.
Addressing Ms. Rittenhouse's concern, you know, I can't read the man's mind. I don't know what his intentions might have actually been, but I can go on what he said and my personal experiences in life. I have some tools that I carry when I go to do handyman work or something, that if a police officer came in and had a reason to look in my truck, I find all kinds of things that can be used as dangerous instruments right behind me, right next to me, on the other side, and I'll guarantee you I am not organized when I put that stuff in there. If I have any loose tools that go in Florida, I've just spent a whole weekend hunting, yet I have a knife in my backpack that is right there and totally accessible. It's used when you're dressing game. It's much more vicious than that one, even though it's only 8-10 inches long. And the other thing that concerns me about that part of it is the way the warrant's written. A police officer would probably get days off for handling a case like this one was written up. Now, I'm not saying that's what the appeal did, but we've seen a lot of bad handwriting in the, you know, or report writing. So you know, it seems this, the allegations in the warrant don't really match everything, you know, the sanctions as far as what they might have determined. But the point being, the UAs, he was only two. He missed two, he made them up the next day, negative all the way through, so he's not into that part of it. Yes, I'm a little concerned about the, you know, the pictures and stuff, but evidently the POs were as concerned about them as they were about the knife and about the missed UAs. But what it boils down to for me is, yes, I'm willing to, as I said, you know, going more than a bribe, I'm willing to support a motion to return Mr. Roth to community supervision.
Ms. Johnson, I think that Ms. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse makes very good points. I think as it relates to the violation itself, as it relates to this tool, I think that this board made a motion in phase one that he had violated, therefore I wouldn't, this has already been done, but we've already dealt with the tools with that motion as it related to phase one and that allegation that the board had. And I think that to me that's often, and of course, as has already been stated, as it relates to his missing those two UAs, that's been accounted for. I don't see that as being an issue, but what I do see as being an issue, because he is a level three sex offender according to the Department of Corrections, and with that pornographic materials being on that phone, I do have serious concerns, because that's a serious situation when you are a level three offender, and that's I am concerned about. I'm very much concerned about that. And as it relates to the two, although it has been decided upon as a violation of, the board has already voted on that one, but I think that one has to be conscious of the fact when he or she is on community supervision, you don't have the same privileges and the same rights as an ordinary citizen who's not on probation or on community supervision. I agree with my distinguished colleague, Mr. Neal. However, Mr. Neal is not on community supervision, therefore he can have it. But if he's on community supervision and he had it out there, that would be a different story. Well, I guess I'm leaning towards what I heard Ms. Rittenhouse stated. But thank you so very much. I'm prepared to listen to others, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Canales?
I can't vote on this. Pardon me.
That's right. Okay, that's right. Therefore, I'm going to, and let me just say this before I state this. I do see in the sentence that Mr. Roth did have contact with his minor kids and bought some fare tickets and purchased them. He did admit that to the PO that he had contact and gave them the tickets to attend the fair. He self-admitted that he had telephone contact with his minor child and FaceTime. As he reports, he did not think that he was the contact because it wasn't face-to-face contact visit. It first says that, it also states that after he was told not to do that, he didn't do that. He didn't do that anymore. And although that is definitely a problem, it appears that the PO, Mr. Boo, didn't seem that he needed any more than the counseling that he was given, because he didn't list it as a violation, although it is a violation. He didn't list it as a violation, and he had the discretion to either list it as a violation or to counsel him and note that he counseled him against doing that. So I think that's the problem, as well as the other violation. There's a problem that he had those images on his phone and that he was using his phone to actually do that. It's kind of amazing as you think about it. You couldn't use the phone to set the timing for him to go see, contact the to take his UAs, although they came back negative, but he did. But only because those things are listed on here, and the parole officer didn't see that those things didn't lead to the point of actually asking for a violation or violating on those terms. It appears that he counseled him on those and moved farther. I would think that if he was to continue that after he had the sanction and was counseling, then the PO would move farther to violate him on those terms. So that's just my general thinking on it. But based on that information and for that reason, I'm going to make a motion to reinstate Mr. Roth on his community supervision with the same conditions and make a motion that he be reinstated with the same conditions and amended conditions. Those amended conditions would be number five, that he must enter and successfully complete treatment programs that that offers the cognitive-based intervention, and that the treatment program would be at the parole officer's discretion, and PO to start revocation upon the first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing, unexcused UA. That would be my motion.
Can you add on the one
Mr.
thing at PO discretion, so the PO can do like he did before, so he gets one, and if everything else is good, he can kind of like let him slide.
Okay, I could add that on to PO's revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA at the PO's discretion.
Yeah, that makes him look at it closer.
Okay. That will be my motion.
Second.
I disagree.
Disagree.
Okay. Let me make sure I get this right this time. So it's a 2-2, so at a 2-2, then it fails. So would you like to make a counter motion?
I fail then. It's already failed. It's 2-2. It was not a majority.
Okay.
Just so happened the chairman is in the room. If the chairman was not here, it would be a different story, but and he's already voted, so.
Okay, let me Okay, Mr. Rob?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you heard the conversation that the board has had in here. Per the board, the motion failed. Your community's... I'm just trying to... Do I need to mark anything on here, Dr. Rob? Just disagree. Because it was... The motion...
Did not agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... And hear what you stated, sir. I think you would call for a counter motion. I think, since, so that we can, so that he let it revoke.
Yeah. So someone will make the counter motion.
Okay, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Roth violated the terms and conditions of his supervision. Was delinquent. Specifically had images on his phone. This would be information from the warrant. The images on his phone had failed to submit urine specimens when directed, had possession of the knife in an unusual position in his vehicle that was accessible to him, And I move to revoke his community supervision on that basis.
Second.
I disagree. Okay, Mr. Roth, the board has voted to revoke the community supervision, sir, based on a split vote by the board, sir. You will be released on December 19th of 2018, sir. I want to thank you, Mr. Roth, for participating in your hearing today. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. That's going to conclude your hearing. Thank you for participating, sir.
Would I have a moment to be able to address Ms. Rittenhouse's concerns? I think there's some discrepancies between the paperwork you have and the warrant that I received.
Well, sir, that's the conclusion of your hearing at this time, sir. There's no further comment to be taken at this time, sir. You heard the discussion that we had when the board was in discussion, sir, and that was the split decision vote that came out in reference to your community supervision, sir. So there's no further comments that we can take reference.
Both ways.
Yes, sir. So
it's unfortunate that Honorable Quinones was unavailable to.
Well, sir, that's it, Mr. Roth. I do understand, but sir, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for participating.
I understand.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Ms. Roth, thank you for participating.